Hello, my name is Christina, and thank you for checking into the Home for Wayward OCs. This is a podcast where a friend and I talk about our original characters, the good, the bad, and the self-inserts. Today, our guest is my friend Melissa Wilkinson. Melissa, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Christina. How are you doing today, friend?
I cannot complain too much. Doing about as well as anyone does before the holiday season sets in with work.
And you didn't tell me the name of the title of the podcast before we got started, so that was a beautiful surprise.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you liked it. I have to say I'm kind of partial to it myself, but I mean, that's because I came up with it, so.
Yeah, it's got a real Foster's vibe to it.
I was trying to go not too much Foster's, but enough that it's reminiscent.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully, I hit my goal. And
yeah.
Hopefully, listeners, knock on wood, can tell us what they think about it. Alright, so, Melissa, who are we going to be talking about today?
We are going to be talking about a superhero named Magna Man, and his real name is Maximilian Morales.
I appreciate the alliteration very much.
A superhero has to have an alliterated name. It's yes. Amazing that, like, a Bruce Wayne or a Tony Stark got as far as they did.
I mean, the alliteration is half of what makes it.
Absolutely.
Especially if it's, like, a Stan Lee superhero.
Oh, for sure.
So, who is Magna Man?
Magna Man is the top superhero of a bustling metropolis called Arch City, which is named mostly for the concept of arch nemesis, although it is a bit of a wink and nod that it's not directly based on my hometown of St. Louis, but I know, like, this is the only place I've ever lived. Of course it's going to end up looking like St. Louis, whether that's intentional or not.
Yes.
But there's also a little bit of Chicago in there, too, because that's a favorite vacation spot of mine.
That sounds super neat.
Yeah. So it's a city where superhero and supervillain culture reigns supreme, and there's action on the streets every day. And it can be, like, really dire, harmful threats down to just, like, two people punching each other in an alley, and then townspeople, like, walk by and wave, and they're like, good luck out there! Rooting for ya!
Oh my gosh. And, of course, do people, like, take, like, smartphone videos or whatever of people fighting in the alleys, like, on Snapchat, like, there's a filter, like, oh yeah, like, super dude and ultra guy are scrapping in this alleyway.
Yeah, absolutely, and, like, the local news, this is like 90% of what they cover, because I guess there's very little other news going on in this town. Like, you don't need to care about, like, what adjustments to the current tax rate. It's just like, you know, who are Ultra Bolt and Laser Light fighting this week?
That sounds a lot of fun and somewhat more preferable to the current state of the world.
Yeah, I wanted to make a really fun, exciting place. I'm like, if I'm gonna make my own city, I don't want to make anything remotely close to a dystopia at all. It's a very happy place. Like, all the problems it has are really just interpersonal, but the persons involved are so larger than life that it can magnify and encompass the entire city.
Now, that sounds a little bit like sports teams. And I know that you, neither you nor I think, are super into the sports, but it reminds me
a little bit
of it.
Yeah, and I think coming from a very sports-based town, I did kind of take just that sense of energy and excitement and unity, and that's something that the city definitely has. And even to the point where the head reporter, like the number one reporter that covers everything in this town, always wears a red outfit, because coming from, you know, Cardinal City, red means excitement to me, just naturally. That's just where my brain goes with that.
That sounds super neat. So, Magna Man, what are his superpowers?
He is a metal controller, and so of course everyone thinks, oh, Magnetism Man. But if you ever actually stop and, like, talk to, you know, him or the mayor about it, the mayor kind of acts as his representative. They're like, no, it's for magnanimous. You know, this is less about his power and just about him being, you know, an upstanding superhero who always has the people's needs first.
So it's more of a PR ploy than a theme name.
Definitely, yeah.
That sounds like a very interesting concept for a superhero. What are his metallic powers like? Is it more like Magneto style? Is it like, oh, look, I can make this marble move? Or what's it like? What's he like?
He can move just about anything metal, anything from, he could, like, if there's a car running away from him, he can, like, stop the car or diverge the car, turn it into another path. Or he could, like, if you've got a metal aglet on the end of your shoelace, he could untie your shoelaces with his mind.
That seems like it has a lot of purposes that it could be used for.
He typically, he's a very busy superhero. He's very stressed, he's very harried. So he typically goes for very blunt solutions to problems. He's never somebody that will, like, you know, put out more harm than is necessary. But he just doesn't have the energy to think of cute, clever little, like, ways to solve a problem. He's just like, how can I stop this as soon as possible? Because I've got, you know, another crime I have to run to, like, today. As soon as possible. He's always on the go. He's always very stressed out. And that's something that the people can kind of see in him. Like, oh, that guy doesn't look like he's having fun doing this. There's other superheroes and villains around town that look like they're having fun. But they're like, he's been at it for so long, you know, and we're really just grateful he's here. And nobody really pries into him too much because they're just grateful and they just want to, you know, kind of respect his privacy. But there's kind of like one eye on him, like, are you doing okay out there, buddy?
So he's a dark age superhero in a golden age world?
I guess so. I wouldn't call him gritty, he's just very tired all the time.
I can empathize with that. I think a lot of people can.
I wanted to make him just the superhuman embodiment of when you have to get up real early, but then you turn back around and just look at your bed.
Oh, God.
He's just one sustained note of that feeling for his entire life.
Oh my gosh, I have such empathy for Magna Man. Oh, that sounds... That is a very interesting concept for a superhero. I don't think I've ever known of a superhero that is just like, I'm just so tired.
That was really what I was thinking of when I made him, was to look at sort of the human problems of being a superhuman, of being a superhero always on the go, not as much in the, like, there's definitely an element to him of, oh, I've never gotten to lead a normal life, I don't have close relationships with people, but it's also, like, he's never cooked for himself.
What?
Are you ready to get into his regular human backstory out behind the mask?
Yeah, I mean, this is a podcast about Richard Gere, just talk about as much as you want.
Okay, so he is the son of the mayor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so as soon as his metal controlling powers developed when he was a kid, it's his mother that's the mayor. His mother's name's... Yeah. Oh. And this is sort of a cartoony gray area world where she's been the mayor for like his entire life. It's cool, don't worry about it. So Mayor Carlotta Morales looks at this little boy she has with this incredible power. She's really goes hard on the with great power comes great responsibility thing. And he's groomed to be a superhero from the time he's a little kid, and he's never known anything else. He's never really given the chance to be anything else. And growing up, his father was a lot easier on him, you know, kind of would let him take, like, oh, you look tired, buddy, you can have the afternoon off, or, you know, would talk to him about, like, you know, if you weren't a superhero, what would you want to do? And, like, they would...
throw out the what-ifs.
Yeah. But when he's a teenager, his father dies. And this is less about, like, a superheroic act of vengeance or an act of guilt. It's more of, I had this advocate in my life, and that advocate is gone. He's like, because Max, now he doesn't really have anybody that can stand up to his mom.
Oh, no. This poor kid.
She's constantly pushing him, and he's so upset about it, but he admits there's nothing wrong with her perspective. And she's never a hypocrite. She works as hard as he does. She's constantly at work. You know, she doesn't have a social life either. She doesn't have anything else outside of her work. She's just in an office or, like, you know, speaking at a podium instead of being out in the street, like, punching people and throwing cars at them. Like, it's a different form of work, but she works as hard as he does. And she's all about, you know, this is our city. We have to protect our city. We have to serve our city. And that comes before anything else in our lives. And so he's grown up knowing that, and he doesn't like it. But he's like, I can't leave. What kind of a person am I if I've been given this incredible gift and I don't use it for its ultimate purpose?
That is a very intricate and a little bit sad backstory. I hope that at some point in your creation of Max that he finds a super therapist to talk about his problems with.
So Max has been so sheltered. He really just has his superhero life and then this sort of sham position as a vague personal assistant in his mother's office, where nobody really knows what he does there. Yeah. Like, none of the other, like, city officials know what he does, but they're like, you know, we're not going to question a bond like that. Like, they've, you know, when the father died when he was a teenager, like, they've been through so much. Like, if being around each other makes them feel better, go for it. We're not going to question, like, Max, what are you doing to earn all of these bagels you're eating? I like the idea that he gets so little time to rest, and he's constantly exerting so much energy that, like, once he is around food, he's just like, I need everything. Like, he'll stop, like, a robbery in a gas station, and then he'll, like, be like, can I just take a couple of these hot dogs off the roller? Please, thank you. You can bill it to the mayor's office. No, I don't want it for free. He's very humble because, you know, this isn't a life he chose. This isn't a life he likes. And he's doing this out of service to everybody. So he's very humble. He's very sort of quiet about his powers. He's never somebody who's going to be able to... You're never going to be able to taunt him or tease him. He's never going to be the guy who's like, are you calling me chicken? Or are you saying I can't do that? He's like, I'm just here to do the job. I've had enough experience to know that I can do the job. And there I did it. It's done. Have a nice day, citizen. I gotta go help someone else.
I gotta go get some food and then help someone else. So I don't think I asked you this. What kind of a universe is Max from? Is he from a story that you wrote or something that you drew or just rattling around in your head for God knows how many years?
I can't draw. He's part of this big story I came up with. Are you ready for a little bit of backstory time for this?
Bring on the backstory! Okay. I'm doing a little dance because this is an audio medium, so I'm narrating what I'm doing.
I didn't have a television in my room growing up. Like, it wasn't like it wasn't allowed, it just wasn't a thing I had. Plus there's a TV in the dining room and a TV in the living room. You've got plenty. You don't need your own personal TV, okay? Mm-hmm. But when I went away to college, and then when I came back, I had my dorm TV that I could set up in my bedroom. And it had a VCR. It was kind of an older, like, attached VCR TV combo.
I can envision exactly what you are talking about.
The summer after my freshman year of college, I had this new thing, like, oh, I can just sit here in my room and watch TV all the time. And I went through all of my old VHS tapes, because the TV couldn't actually get, like, television reception. It was just tapes. And I had a ton of old tapes of Pokemon.
Yes.
And other cartoons.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
If anybody has ever heard of Flint the Time Detective, I had a ton of that, too.
I have not, but that sounds very interesting.
Oh, boy, I'll have to explain the whole thing to you sometime. It is a wild ride. Bookmark that. We'll return to it at some point later on in our friendship.
A pin's been put in it.
Just know it's some sort of big, goofy, hero-villain sort of cartoon. And this was also the summer after Lost had ended.
Oh my.
And Lost marked this time in my life, because it came out when I was in, like, eighth grade. This time when I transitioned from a lot of cartoons to a lot of adult programming, to a lot of, like, dramas and things like that. And then I found, Lost is also a discussion for another time, but I'll just say it was a show I always loved, and, you know, I watched it from all the way from beginning to end, and then when it was over, I sort of found myself being not as interested in other TV dramas. Like, Well, I just liked other dramas while Lost was on. Like, that was what got me into this entire genre in the first place. And the other things I was watching aren't as interesting to me anymore. It's these old cartoons that I'm really responding to. And so I'm like, if this is, like, the genre you've always really loved the most, why don't you make something with it? I was a creative writing major in college. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, let's just make a big city full of every cartoon trope you've ever admired and wanted to play with yourself.
Yes.
And that most...
Yes. Yes.
And there was a lot of extra stuff in there in the beginning that I eventually, like, weeded out. Like, no, I don't think there's room for, like, a talking cat in this world or anything like that.
There's always room for a talking cat and a magical girl.
They're somewhere. They're just not exactly here. And I just focused it in more on, like, superheroes and supervillains. And I just made all of these different people to populate this world. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted a dynamic of a supervillain who hated his hero and then came to sort of look at him warmly, like, boy, you really work hard for all of us. Are you all right?
The villain who goes from arch enemy to concerned coworker.
Yeah, to really ultimately a love interest. Like, I really wanted to make, like, a superhero supervillain romance.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, yeah. As part of this whole, I wanted to make, like, a big superhero soap opera sort of thing. And over the years, I've winnowed it down to, like, you started out with way too many characters, and I'm just narrowing it down to, like, a smaller handful. And these two have always been here, Magna Man and his nemesis, Dr. Parasite.
Dr. Parasite, that's great.
And Dr. Parasite, I guess you're kind of getting a two-for-one special on this.
Hey, two-for-one! I will take two-for-one deals.
His name is Eric Woodson. He is a real doctor.
Okay.
And
doctor
when he
what?
Was like in the medical, an MD, yeah. And when he was in college, he was working as, like, a field medic for some supervillain, like, just trying to earn money to pay off his student loans.
Relatable.
And this super... Yeah, and this supervillain is, like, launching a big attack on the city, and Magna Man comes through, and he's taking out this villain, and he's taking out all these henchmen, and he punches Eric, and then he says, Oh no, you're the medic! I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit you. I'm not supposed to hit the medic. Are you okay? Okay, good. I gotta run. And Eric was just like... What happened? Who was that? And this was when Magna Man was still fairly young. Yeah, fairly new in the city.
Yeah.
So it's probably the first time he's ever seen him in person. And he's like, who is this handsome man who has every right to be a huge jerk to me, to be this big, arrogant superhero? And he's not. He's the most gentle soul behind those punching fists. And, well, he starts out like, who is this guy? What is he doing? And he has such a strong reaction that he thinks he hates him. He's like, I gotta do something to that superhero.
Oh, gosh. It's wicked.
And he becomes this supervillain. Well, super in quotation marks. He's not a man of any powers. He's a great doctor, but he's not, like, an inventor or anything. And it's just him cobbling together, like, very rough ray guns and shoddy traps and running around town in, like, a lab coat that he's, like, sewn pool patches on or something like that.
Gosh, Dr. Edgelord.
And his entire thing is that he just wants to get to Magna Man, and he slowly figures out, oh, I really love this guy. Like, that's what I'm here for.
Aww.
And he's like, I wanted to know more about this man. This man does nothing but work. Of course I'm a supervillain. Like, what other way is there to get to know this man?
Oh, man?
And so Magna Man has gone from seeing this guy as... Because he doesn't recognize. I don't think Dr. Parasite ever makes it clear. Hey, I was that medic that you punched that one time. So Magna Man's gone through their relationship being like, oh, that guy's a nuisance. Being like, oh, I kind of like this guy because at least he's easy. Like, it's not a hard part of my day. It's kind of... You know, if I never stop working, at least I can look at the easiest supervillain of my day as a break. It's nice to have a break. I kind of like this guy. It seems like he's genuinely really interested in me in a way nobody else is. Like, nobody stops and asks me how I'm doing or seems to take a any sort of an interest in who I am when I'm not being a superhero. Like, what's behind this mask? To, like, oh boy, I really love this man too. And of course, he has no idea how to bring this up to the mayor. Because he has no social life. He has had one friend since he was a teenager, who is the town reporter. The town reporter.
The only reporter.
Because she's this woman with the ability to instantly copy herself.
Oh, so that's neat.
She can be everywhere at once. The entire news staff is her.
Oh, man.
Like, she runs half the city. Like, she does the news. She does, like, cool vlogs. She's, like, a host of a... Oh, she'll host shows. She'll, like, just be running a hot dog cart or something. Like, she can do everything, so she wants to do everything. She's all over the place.
Thank you for the traffic report, Janet. Now back to you, Janet, with the weather. Thanks, Janet. Here's the weather for today. And over to the sports desk for the update on the basketball team with Janet.
You're close. Her name is Justine.
Yes!
Her name is Justine Jost, your host.
Nice, nice, nice.
And the mayor let her in on this family secret because she's like, she's gonna figure it out anyway. Like, I don't want this woman hunting us down. I'd rather let her in now. And so Justine has been the only friend Max has had his whole life. But at least, like, she can be there whenever he needs her. If he's like, I had a hard day and I'm lonely. And I fought a scary villain today. Can you come spend the night? And she's like, yeah, I'm there. Like, literally, instantly there. Like, she snaps her fingers, and there she is. She can, like, teleport herself into a place she knows.
Aw, that's cool.
Like, she doesn't have to, like, make a copy of her in her house, and then that copy, like, gets in the car and drives away.
That'd make for some fun shots, though. Just do, like, split screens of, like, all of the Justines going about the day.
That's what they do. But so Max has had one friend his whole life, and the only person that has ever been able to be let into his life was only let in for strategic reasons. Like, he has not been allowed any personal relationships with anybody. He's not even that close to other superheroes. His mom wants him kind of as, like, a solo figure. Like, don't get involved in any of those politics and interpersonal drama of, like, different team-ups and different groups. Like, just be yourself. Like, just be the best Magna Man you can be out there.
No sidekicks allowed?
No, he doesn't have a sidekick. He does get a girl he sort of mentors.
Okay.
Who might be her whole own episode. When you brought this idea up to me, I'm like, okay, I'm either gonna go with this superhero or this other superhero.
And hey, now you're laying the groundwork for a return in the future!
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's plenty of folks in the city.
Yes, good.
And now Magna Man, he's falling in love with the supervillain that his mom has never remotely respected. Like, she doesn't care that he's a villain, she cares that he's a bad villain. Like, he's just not good at his job, and she's like, he's not worth your time.
Okay.
Like, you are the best hero in the city, you go out and you fight the best villains.
So, it's like the difference between dating, like, oh shoot, Joe Cool and dating, the Green Goblin. dating an A-lister and a Z-lister.
That's not the same universe,
but
yes.
Oh god, it's not even the same universe!
Yeah, Joe Chill was the man who shot Batman's parents in most continuities, I believe. Yeah, but no, that's a really good example.
Yeah, I apologize, any listeners who might be offended at that. I have had a long day because we are in the crunch season, and besides, I am not a Marvel doctorate or a DC doctorate, so.
I didn't mean to jump on you with a correction.
Okay.
I was mostly just proud I remembered who Joe Chill was. So the mayor doesn't want him getting involved in any interpersonal entanglements. And he's like, she doesn't even let me see this guy at work.
Aww.
And like everything he does, he runs past her. Like he's constantly like looking over his shoulder for his mom. He's like super controlled, but he's like, of course she's got to control me. Like, she's the mayor and I'm the top superhero of the town. And he really buys into, like, everything she says because he knows, like, he's taken a long, hard look at her and he's like, I know she's doing what's best for the city. How can I not also do that? He's like, I love this man, but how am I going to be able to step away from this job that has become my entire life? Like, how can I, how can I ever excuse that action? And it's, a lot of the story is just him, like, living on that edge of, I have to do right by this man I love, who loves me back, and I have to do right by the entire city.
Now, you said his mom always does what's best for the city, but has he asked himself yet if his mother always does what's best for him as her son?
Oh, he does that all the dang time.
Oh, no.
But he's like, she was the mayor before she was my mom. Like, he doesn't like it. He hates that that, you know, mayor-superhero relationship has superseded the mother-son relationship. But he's like, what can I do? And he feels very stuck. And the story is about him trying to unstick himself and about the various people around him, like, recognizing what trouble he's in and trying to get him out, like, trying to wear the mayor down, like, this isn't as big a deal as you think it is. And I think...
Is there a hashtag at some point? Like, hashtag free Magna Man? With just, like, pictures of him just, like, slumped passed out on tables with coffee or something?
It's like the sad Keanu meme.
Yes.
There is one story, one episode of this I have written, because I originally wanted it to be like a television series.
I would watch it.
I wrote four different, like, final class projects about this universe when I was in college. Two of them for one professor and two of them for another. Both of whom were, like, very old and kind of out of it, and so I don't think either of them ever put together, like, oh, these are those people I saw last year.
Yeah.
So it meant nothing to them, but it was a point of personal pride for me. Like, here's another superhero story for my capstone project.
Nice. I appreciate it very much.
Now, they did write an episode where this young, like, teenage Supergirl that Magna Man is kind of loosely mentoring, they have to go break up a fight. They have to go break up this restaurant heist that's on Valentine's Day. And, like, Dr. Parasite, like, wanders in with a box of chocolates. Like, hey, honey, I came to see you at work. And this is before they're, like, before they've admitted anything to each other. When it's still just, like, that sort of flirting via thwarting each other stage. And he's like, get out of here, Dr. Parasite. Like, I've got work to do. And he's just so focused on his work. And the Supergirl's like, oh, it's Valentine's Day. Like, you have to take a break sometime.
Good.
Like, it's okay to say hi to a villain. And so she makes this whole social media event called Valentine's Day that's exclusively for heroes appreciating their villains.
Oh.
And the joke is that she gets so wrapped up in making sure that these two can have a day together that she completely forgets to get anything for her own villains.
Oh.
And she has to, like, go on the news, like, Justine wants to interview her as the creator of this holiday. And she's like, oh yeah, I'll have you and your villains on the show. We'll do, like, a live gift exchange. And she's like, yeah, gift exchange.
Oh no. That sounds like such a fun plot, though. Oh boy. That sounds, oh gosh, that's such a cool universe that you've set up.
I like it. I think it's fun. I really like taking these huge, larger-than-life superheroic figures who could, like, decimate the entire city if they wanted to. And it is plots like that, like, oh, do I dare to hold your hand?
Friendships between superheroes and supervillains, and more than friendships, and coworker appreciation day.
And it's not like that stuff's uncommon in, like, the general culture of the city. It's just that the mayor's got, like, a real hard line on, you keep your work and your life separate. Also, you don't have a life, it's just work.
So the line is a circle.
Yes, exactly.
What are some of your favorite plot points that you've had happen with Max, aka Magna Man?
I really want there to be some petulant young upstart of a villain you know, just like a teenager, college kid, like, really doesn't know what he's doing yet, isn't very powerful at all, but he's got big ideas. He's like, I'm gonna capture Magna Man. And he defeats Magna Man, and he thinks he's so powerful. He's like, I was right, I am the ruler of the city. And he just defeated Magna Man because he's just exhausted. Like, he just caught Magna Man at the end of, like, an 18-hour day.
Oh, boy.
And, like, Magna Man's not unconscious, like, he just fell asleep.
Oh, man.
And I want there to be, like, Justine Jost has a, you can be my co-host for the day sort of contest. And then Dr. Parasite puts in a million entries, because he's like, this is another way I can get close to Magna Man, is by, like, getting to know his best friend, this reporter who's always with him and is always, you know, lauding him.
Oh gosh, that sounds so fun. Popularity contests. Oh, that sounds so fun. I had to say it twice because it's such a cool idea.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I love superhero stories in general. Like, I don't even know if I've got one favorite, just the whole concept I'm into. And when we're in a world of so many, like, we've got superheroes within their own stories fighting each other, like Batman v Superman and Civil War, and then we've got, within Marvel, it's like, no, the X-Men aren't part of this universe because of legal dealings. We know you guys know each other in the comics, but we can't put it on screen. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. And then we've got Marvel versus DC. And so I wanted to create a world that was that big and that lush as, like, the world of comics and comic adaptations without any of those, like, strings attached to them, without any of that drama or fighting, like, inside or outside of the story. And, like, I want, like, this big, bustling town that's just my little, like, sandbox to play in. And if I want everyone to be friends, everyone can be friends.
Yes.
And it can be these fun, silly, fluffy little plots, but then they've all just got, like, yeah, I can, you know, I could just make that building fall over if I wanted to, and I'm super strong, and I can shoot the fire out of my eyes, whatever. But if I want to go really big and have them all fight some huge villainous disaster, then I can.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in charge of the tone. Like, if I want it to be really campy, or if I want it to be this grandiose, like, tragic tale, like, oh, I can do whatever I want. And that's why I love Magna Man so much, because he can play into both things. He's, like, literally dying of exhaustion on the dramatic end, or he's, like, just, like, the guy who falls asleep, you know, with his head on his fist if you leave him sitting by himself for 2 minutes. Like, on the comedic end of things.
Ah, the wonders of having a balanced character, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
He sounds like a very balanced character as far as, like, traits go and stuff. So, how do you see, what do you see of yourself in Magna Man?
I think just that little voice that nags at the back of your head sometimes, like, this is a fun thing to do for yourself. I don't see what it does for anyone else, though. Of just, shouldn't you be, to make the most of your time in this world, shouldn't you be doing the most for the most amount of people?
That is very relatable. The constant struggle of, am I really doing the, yes, recording a podcast with my friends is fun, but I'm not out solving the cancer crisis, and I'm not out stopping world hunger in everywhere aside from certain select cities, and it's a difficult line to tread.
Yeah, he's all about that fight between when do I have to be a citizen, with a capital C, and when do I just get to be a person? Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, that very common everyday human need of, I just want to go home and go to bed. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm tired, I'm lonely, I want a snack.
Yes.
Like, Max, he just wants to be a good boy and lie in bed in his pajamas and eat a cinnamon roll the size of his head. Like any of us do.
Oh gosh, that is so me. I mean, not the good boy part, but... but good, yes.
Yes. Yeah, he's... You know, they feel like he's just got that constant loop of, am I good? Like, running in the back of his head like an episode of My Brother and Me.
Am I good? And that is my best Griffin McElroy impression, everyone.
Yeah, and the equivalent in this world is just my Justine and me, and...
Me, myself, and I?
Yeah! It's just her, like, every show that we have in our world, she has just herself doing it by herself all the time.
Yes. Oh boy.
I know we came here to talk about Max, but I've had so much fun inventing, like, an infinitely copying character.
Oh, yes.
Like, she's just doing entire plays with herself, for herself, just in, like, the back extra bedroom of her apartment, like, all the time. And the normal citizens walking around don't know this.
Oh, man.
And she can be everywhere at any time, and, like, if anybody is just out on the streets on some quiet night, and they stop, and they get real still, and they listen, like, they can just hear her, like, cackling somewhere in the background, getting up to something out there.
Oh my gosh.
I like this combination of, like, she's the reporter in town, she is the news source, but she's also this weird wild card that is, like, making half the news herself, mm-hmm. and, like, nobody can challenge her, so she just makes the whole news, like, about her friends. Like, she genuinely adores Magna Man, and so she's constantly talking about him on the news.
Yes.
And, like, Max loves her, too. He's like, I really appreciate this, but boy, this is also a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know how to tell her, like, oh, you're kind of adding to the public image of me. I'm glad you like me so much.
Yes.
Your compliments mean a lot, but, did you just make it sound like I've got more work to do?
Yes. That is, I could definitely see that happening when you have an infinite hype man.
Yes, yeah, infinite hype man, that's her. Yep, that's her.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. So has Magna Man made it into anything else that you've done? Any other creative works or, like, I don't know, like, games you've made or played?
No, I've just, like I said, I wrote a bunch of stories about him in college for class and, you know, not for class.
Yeah.
I wrote my creative writing senior capstone project all about, it was an episode from This Whole World, so it was him and, you know, a couple other heroes and villains of this world populated it, too. Like I said, my professor was just this very, very old man in, like, his 80s. And he was very intelligent, he was very kind-hearted, but he was very out of touch. I don't think he engaged in any story that was set after the year he was born. Like, his favorite books are Anna Karenina and The Metamorphosis.
Oh, God, what a selection. What a selection.
And he would let you write anything. Like, we had a class full of people doing genre stuff. There was, you know, this story. I think another girl was doing a story where people had powers. There was fantasy stories and sci-fi and vampire romance and all sorts of things. And he's like, you can write it. I don't know what to tell you about it, but I don't know. Go ahead.
That sounds both very helpful and not helpful at all.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I wish you had, like, a legitimate thing to offer me. But I also like that I just have free reign to do whatever I want here. So yeah, I've just written about Magna Man and the rest of the citizens of Arch City. Oh, just really for my own personal enjoyment. Like,
yeah.
I said, there was a long time where I was hoping I could make it into, like, a TV series or something. I've been thinking about, is there any possible way I could tailor this to work as an audio drama? But I'm like, oh, then I would lose a lot of the visual aspect. Like, it's going to be a lot more confusing when you have to hear a dozen Justines at once instead of just seeing a dozen Justines at once.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think I'm going to, like, not really think about what is the ultimate destiny of this story and just, like, just write it, like, just plot it out, be like, okay, who really is this character? Let me spend more time with them, let me get a better idea of where I want them to end up eventually, and just write it for my own enjoyment, maybe share it with some friends, and then, I don't know, just keep it in my back pocket, and maybe it'll turn into something later on down the line. Like, let's not get ahead of myself, let's just do it, like, let's just have fun for myself writing these silly superhero stories.
I would argue that a lot of the best works of media are ones that are made out of love and appreciation for the project itself and the work that you've created, and not necessarily because there were finances involved in this creation. Yeah. I'm definitely not knocking licensed properties. I'm just saying, so you can tell when there is love put into a story.
Yeah.
Or a lot of love. So was there anything else that you wanted to talk about, Max, about?
Oh, did you want me to tell you what he looks like?
Sure, that'd be helpful.
Okay, he's... when most of the story takes place, he's about in his, like, mid to late 30s. He's got curly brown hair, and brown eyes, mm-hmm. and he has one of those little, like, Incredibles
a
masks.
Domino mask.
Just that... Yeah, one of those little things. And, you know... If other superheroes' stories haven't had to explain why nobody can recognize somebody with the tiniest mask possible, then I won't do it, you know.
I'm sure there are actual aspects of psychology involved. I mean, like, think about all the stories of actual actors dressing up as their characters and going to conventions.
Yeah.
Like, the only one I can think of is Hugh Jackman, like, losing a Wolverine lookalike contest because he was too tall.
Oh, that's right!
So, hey, psychology is a thing.
Yeah. And his outfit is just the super suit that's all in, like, a magnet. It's shades of, like, dark gray. And he has this big red M on his chest, but it's not, like, up there, like, a superhero insignia. It's more of this, like, this big, long, like, squiggly M across his abdomen. I want it to look almost more like a Charlie Brown scribble than like a real superhero logo.
Did he come up with the costume himself?
Him and his mom worked together on it.
Of course she did.
And so I think it's mostly her idea, but the one thing he, like, insisted on was that he wanted a cape. And she's like, it's not really practical, but I guess it looks good. It gives you a lot of grandeur, so okay, you can have a cape. And he uses it as just like, it's just like his big security blanket strapped to his back. So whenever he's really stressed out, he's like rubbing the material between his fingers, or like he's always got it like bunched up in his fists. And I think it is detachable. So
good.
Like if he finds Dr. Parasite out there following him on some cold, snowy night, he's like, you look colder than I do here, and he can like take the cape off and like give it to him.
Oh, he shares his
world. Yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah, I think he just wears a super suit and then actual suits when he has to go to work. And his mom is harsh, but whenever, if there's a thing she can give him that won't take any, like, time out of his life, she'll do it. So, like, he always has really good food and really good clothes. She's like, well, you have to have those anyway. So, like, his suits always look nice. At least he's got that in his life. And I feel like he never wears civilian clothes, but if he did, it would just be, like, sweatpants and a flannel shirt and a t-shirt, probably. And I imagine there's a lot of merchandise for superheroes out there in this city.
I mean, why not?
So, it's probably not a picture of himself, but it might be, like, a picture of Justine. It's probably, like, a Channel 6 News at 6, like, promotional t-shirt with her picture on it. It's like, oh... She has a t-shirt with my face on it. I want a t-shirt with her face on it.
Like, it's like a pattern of, like, a repeating pattern of her face.
Yeah.
Oh gosh,
yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
I can definitely, I am very empathetic. I feel very similar to him on the thoughts of fashion, which is like, nope, the wet pants, t-shirts.
Yeah.
Who cares about suits? I mean, unless you really want to make an impression, then you go with the suit.
Yeah.
Well, thank you today, Melissa, for telling us all about Max, aka Magnaman, and Dr. Parasite, aka Eric, and Justine, aka the Omnipresent.
Infinite Jost.
Infinite Jost. Now that sounds like a good goof. So thank you again for coming on to talk with us today.
Absolutely.
Would you have any social media that you would like to share, or creative projects?
I do. I am WilkyWit, WILKYWIT, on Twitter and Instagram. And I haven't updated my Tumblr in a while, but now that you've helped inspire me to write more, I think I'm going to spend a little bit more time over there. That was typically where I put any stuff from the story. Oh, the entire story as a whole. I didn't even tell you the title of it. It's called Gloves Off.
Nice.
Which is, to loop it back to what I was talking about at the beginning, it's inspired by, do you remember that episode of Pokemon really early on where Team Rocket has taken the Togepi egg before it's even hatched when it's just this mystery egg? Do you remember this episode?
I feel like I do.
Well, it's Team
Rocket. And if I don't, Jake's screaming about it somewhere.
They're hanging out in this, like, house somewhere, and it's the first time you've seen Jesse and James, like, with their gloves off.
Okay.
Like, it's the first time you're seeing them be, like, kind of more casual, just people, instead of these villains. Mm-hmm. And that was the aim I always had for the show, to take, like, superheroes and supervillains and make them, like, this is who they are when they go home. This is who they are when they take their costume off, and so that's why the show is called that.
Nice.
But my Tumblr URL is your least sassy friend.
Okay. I appreciate that URL.
Yeah, and there's a Gloves Off tag that's linked there in the sidebar.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned that you've got a podcast coming up down the pipeline, so the next time you come on, maybe we will be able to promo that.
Hopefully so, yeah.
I have heard the premise of what Melissa is going to be doing for this podcast, and I am very much so interested in it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, too. It's a fun sort of storytelling, and I hope it gets off the ground soon.
It will. All good things do. Mm-hmm. The Home for Wayward OCs can be found on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. Our theme song is Violet by Pommington Bear, courtesy of the Free Music Archives. New episodes come out on the 2nd and 4th Mondays of the month. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we can be found on Twitter at WaywardOCPod or through the WaywardOCPod hashtag. You can also email us at waywardocpod@gmail.com. We are always looking for guests to talk about their original characters, so drop us a line if you're interested in being on the show. And since we're just starting out, it would be super helpful if you can subscribe and rate us on your listening platform of choice. That helps us find more guests and brighten more people's day. So, thank you all for listening. This has been the Home for Wayward OCs, and we hope you enjoyed your stay.